I was wondering where he was going.
I want to hear your sermon this way.
Doubting Thomas. I prefer to preach on the first reading of today, but I have a suspicion that many people are going to be focusing on Doubting Thomas. And I suspect many preachers are going to be preaching about Doubting Thomas. And this passage probably will be heard by many people in that way. Don't doubt. You have to have a firm faith. Many listeners might go home today feeling tremendous guilt for the doubts that arise in their hearts. And I want to ask, is that what this story is about? Not to have doubts? I want to confess that my own spiritual journey is rooted in doubt. I am where I am because of doubts. Doubts have helped me grow deeper in my own faith, in my own spiritual journey. My family comes from medical professionals, so I think we're baked in. Scientific method. To doubt, to question, inquire, to explore, to be curious about things. The Redemptorist, the order I used to belong to in the Roman Catholic Church, taught me to be curious, to doubt, to question. Sometimes it is uncomfortable. In our own journey, the security of a faith that is all zoned up is comforting. However, I believe that true faith brings us to a place of uncomfortability, even of disorientation. So, who is this Thomas that we always associate with a doubting Thomas? Thomas has such a bad reputation, especially in the Gospel of John. Thomas was called the twin, Didymus in Greek. The Aramaic word for twin is Tooma, Thomas, which means precisely twin. You know what? In the apocryphal writings, he is considered even an identical twin to Jesus. The so-called Book of Thomas, written around the second century, wrote the following. The Savior, Jesus, said, "Brother Thomas, while you are still in the world, listen to me, and I shall reveal to you what you have thought about in your heart. Since it is said that you are my twin and true friend, examine yourself and understand who you are, how you exist, and how you will come to be." So probably Thomas in this tradition was not so much a twin brother in the physical sense, but rather in the spiritual sense. Thomas, in a portion of the ancient church, was considered the perfect disciple. The one who questioned, who dealt with Jesus in doubt, and was able to go deeper. The well-known Coptic Gospel of Thomas, many of you know it, begins its book by saying, "These are the hidden sayings that the living Jesus spoke, and Judas Thomas, the twin, recorded." So there is an old tradition of Thomas being this very perfect disciple who really understood Jesus, who grasped and struggled with his faith, and was able to go on deeper. In the Gospel of John, however, Thomas has a little bit more of a sketchy side. Thomas, for example, in chapter 11 of John says, when Jesus proclaims he's going to be killed, "Let us go too, so that we may die with Jesus." Probably courageous or a little bit foolhardy. John 14, Thomas is presented as the one who says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus answers to Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Thomas is in the story we heard today. And then again, he's with the appearance of the risen Christ at the Sea of Galilee. Tradition has it that Thomas was sent as a missionary to India and established community there almost 2,000 years ago. And to today, the Christians in India consider Thomas as their apostle, the founder of their community. Now let's look at the story that we just heard in the Gospel. Fuller theological professor Mary Ann Thompson describes this story. She says, "Although Thomas is frequently called the doubter, Jesus does not invite him to stop doubting. Rather, Jesus invites Thomas to turn from being unbelieving or untrusting, to trusting or believing. That is, to put his trust in Jesus. A more literal translation of the verse could be, cease to be faithless, but be faithful instead. As I understand it, what Jesus is inviting him is not don't doubt, but rather trust. It's a relational invitation. Thomas is inviting to trust. Yes, to continue to examine, to doubt, to question, but all on the foundation, on the ground of a deep and abiding trust, which is what this word believing means, to be worthy of belief, of trust, of dependability. So the question was, I think, not about doubt itself, but about a doubt that is closed out, a doubt that is untrusting, faithless, a doubt that refuses to trust in that ultimate ground, which we call God. A doubt that is probably voluntary, that refuses this trust. Trusting is so important in relationships. And we can doubt. You know, as an example, Hugh and I, we sometimes get entangled, and I doubt Hugh. But what is foundational is the relation of trust. And I can doubt, I can question why. But if there's trust in the ground, it can hold doubt and question. But if there's no trust as the foundation of the relationship, then everything goes to pieces. And I think that is what Jesus was trying to tell Thomas. It is okay to question, to wonder, to doubt. But what I want you is to uphold this deep abiding trust, the safe container that can hold doubt, because that container is faith, a deep trust. I would like to present another example of someone who might be called the doubter, which is our Blessed Mother, Mary. You might say, what? A couple of days ago, we were celebrating her on the Annunciation, when the angel Gabriel pronounces Mary as the mother of Jesus. This was March 25th, 9 months before Christmas. In our book of saints called Lesser Feasts and Fasts, this is what this feast is described. And I think it's a very beautiful understanding of Mary. And it says the following. While many Christians emphasize the submissiveness of Mary, according to the 6th century Syriac writer Jacob of Sarag, the most important words that Mary spoke were not those of a quiet acquiescence, but rather the words of, how can this be? Indeed, in Jacob's account of the gospel encounter, Mary's response is much more than a single question. Instead, a teenage girl takes on an archangel in a theological debate, and freely consents only when she has been convinced that the angel's word is true. The words of Jacob Sarug says, she inquired, sought, investigated, learned, and then kept silent. In this interpretation, it is Mary's eagerness to understand God's plan and her own role in it that makes her exemplary rather than her meek consent. Jacob contrasts her behavior with Eve, who did not question the serpent that tempted her in the garden, but uncritically accepted the claim that she and Adam would become like gods without testing it first. In Eve's case, lack of doubt gave birth to death, because she simply believed whatever she was told and was won over without any debate. Isn't it an interesting passage? Looking at Mary in this very interesting way, as a woman who struggled with her faith, who questioned the angel, the archangel that came to her, wait a minute, what does this mean? Open-hearted doubt, faithful doubt, can be a powerful tool in our spiritual journey. It can help us discern truth from error, and like Thomas and Mary, can lead us into ever more deeper truth. Now, this faith does not eliminate doubt. Faith that has it all answered is not truly faith. I remember an atheist was asking me, "You who have faith, you have it all figured out." I said, "No, we don't." That is not faith. Faith is this abiding trust, but it doesn't have all the little details figured out. Of course not. We walk in this trust, but we can't say for any certainty this is how it is. It's interesting that fundamentalism and scientism sometimes are so close to each other. The fundamentalist religious who have it all figured out, very literal, everything is all written down. Just as scientists who believe that everything is only what you can see or touch or experiment with. Those are the two extremes. But those who are truly wise know that we're walking sometimes a little bit blind. And that is the important thing, that we are constantly learning, questioning, exploring with open-hearted curiosity. I would like to end with a poem written by the Church of Scotland in its book, More Than Words. And it's a beautiful description of the power of doubt in faith. And it's called A Door to Discovery. How strangely comforting, Lord, that so many of your servants have doubted you. So if I cannot always see the sense of your word, if I don't always feel confident about my faith, if I wonder where your love is in the face of pain and death, I'm not the first. A great company of saints and martyrs has felt this way before me. Now in your presence, they see face to face and know as they are known. Teach me, like them, not so much to fear doubt as to see it as a sign of the mystery of life and a door to discovery. Amen.
Amen.